If you have your Bible, I'd like you to open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hold that spot, and then flip over to Genesis chapter 3. And hold that section up in front of you. That is from the time God created a perfect world and created us to the time we messed it up. Now hold the rest of the Bible. That is a story about God's pursuit of a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. It's His story. It's about His love, how He pursues all of us. Now, of course, the story is in historical context, but really it has contemporary realities, right? We all have those stories. And this morning, Carolyn and I are going to share with you how God pursued us and how God won us back to His glory. In 1994, Carolyn and I were married as a couple before God in 1980. And like all marriages, we had our ups and downs, mostly downs, frankly. But in 1994, I was in an airplane accident, and it's a miracle that I survived. And in that time, it forced me to look at my life. Why did I survive? Because, you know, weeks after that and weeks before that, people crashed that I knew in similar accidents, frankly, and they perished. Why? You know, why did I survive? And as I worked through that time, you know, trying to figure that out, I decided, well, maybe I'm supposed to, you know, throw myself, you know, it's my career. So I threw myself into my career, and that was empty. And I threw myself into hobbies, and that was empty. And eventually, in just frustration and anguish and emptiness, in 96 time frame, I attempted suicide. God spared me. But during that time, you know, I went to my pastor to seek help. He said, look, I've got my own problem after the attempted suicide. And to his credit, I didn't tell him what had happened, but I went to my pastor to seek help. He said, look, I got my own problems. Here, go see the counselor that I see. And so I went to see the counselor. That was no good. That didn't work. Finally, in 1999, I concluded that the problem was my relationship with Carolyn. And so I asked for a divorce in 1999. And in October of 1999, October of 2000, the divorce was granted. So I had moved out. I had moved away from the church, quit going to the church.
So this was a shock to me. As Terry said, we'd had our ups and downs, but I was one that believed that we would work through this. And when he told me that he was moving out and that he'd filed for divorce, I was absolutely devastated. It is true that in the Bible, when it says when you marry, you become one, I felt as if my soul had been ripped apart. The kids were shocked when Terry sat us all down in the living room and told us. They thought he was joking. Because if you do know Terry at all, you know that he does have a good sense of humor, and they thought it was just a prank. As they realized that it was the truth, and we worked very good at making sure that they realized it was not their fault, but they had to put up with the ritual of divorce, of Wednesday nights with Dad, every other weekend with Dad. It was a horrible time. But God was working. And when Terry moved out in October of 99, it was almost Halloween. So this is kind of a perfect time for this. There was a lady that lived two doors down, and we knew her sort of. Our daughter Lynn had babysat for her, and she came around with her son Kyle and had flyers. And her flyers, instead of trick-or-treat, although they were trick-or-treating also, she was handing out flyers, offering herself as a prayer warrior. The timing was God's. And she and I started taking prayer walks, and we would walk around the neighborhood. It was about a mile walk, and we would pray, and we would talk. And she quickly became a very good friend. And that was probably the first case that I can say that God moved in and started helping me. One of the other things that happened was my sister, who is very involved in the church, told me, she said, you just have to take one day at a time. So I did. And I tried very hard to take one day at a time and focus on prayer and focus on time, time in trying to heal. One of the things that happened to me, though, was that as I was driving to work one day, it was just as if I just couldn't take it any longer. And I just felt, like I said, like my soul was torn in half. And I, at that time, I prayed fervently to the Lord, probably more so than I had maybe ever. And I felt the greatest sense of the Holy Spirit moving within me and giving me an undeniable sense of peace. And I still remember that to this day. And I mean, it's happened other times also, but this is the first time that I can really say that I knew that the Holy Spirit was with me. So at that time, we were both in a church that was it was an okay church, but it really wasn't that much Bible preaching. So it just so happened that I had another friend that had recently moved to an evangelical church. And she counseled me that they had a singles group and that it was a very much a Bible preaching church. And she felt that maybe this was a good time for me to make that move. She also became a closer friend as this whole process continued. But I did switch churches, and this is very key. I also went through grief counseling, which this is very ironic, but they had it at one of the churches, and it was suggested that I go there. So I did, and this class was usually packed and a lot of people. I was the only one there. There were two counselors and me. And so I definitely had four ears listening. So I was definitely able to share and shed my, my tears, my grief. They also told me that they said, it takes 4 years to recover for 1 year of marriage. Well, we've been married for 19 years, so I was looking at a long process. But the miraculous thing about this was that, again, I believe God was here because I didn't have to listen to other people's sorrowful stories about how their ex had wronged them. I was there just by myself, and it allowed me to not become bitter, and I didn't. And I worked with the Lord, and I started praying for Terry. I read many, many books on separation and divorce, and I prayed for Terry. I got Stormy O'Martin's Praying for Your Husband, and I went through the different chapters, and I prayed. At this point, I still was very stubborn and just believed it was a mistake that would all go away.
At this time, I was not in the church. I left the church shortly after I filed for divorce, and I was not in the church the whole time. I was going literally my own way. And then the Christmas Eve of 2000, we were in Wichita, about a three-hour drive up to Kansas City. I drove up to see my mother on Christmas Eve. And leaving in the evening and to drive home by myself, and I drove through the Kansas Flint Hills between Kansas City and Wichita, and they're just beautiful. And it was a moonlit night. I remember this, and I'm looking out at the moon and the stars on this Christmas Eve, and I heard God tell me, "Terry, it's time to come home. It's time to come home." And so that night, I got to Wichita about 10 o'clock at night, and I started looking around for a church that had a Christmas Eve midnight service. And I found one in a church in downtown Wichita, and I went to that Christmas Eve service and started attending that church. About that time, in God's perfect timing, I'm attending that church, and a friend approached me, a co-worker, and said, "Hey, we've got at this church that I go to, we've got this singles and single parents group, and we're having a Super Bowl party." This was in January. "We're having a Super Bowl party. You ought to join us. A lot of people." So huge single, typical Sunday school was over 100 people in this church. Big Bible teaching and preaching church. And sadly, in the churches that Carol and I belonged to before that, they kind of looked down on Bible teaching and preaching churches. I don't know why. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the church, to proclaim the word. But anyway, he invited me to join them at the Super Bowl party. I did. It was a good group of people. I started attending the church. One thing I noticed, though, as we sat at this in this Sunday school class, and we'd go through a lesson. We had a wonderful pastor there that led us. We went through a lesson, and then we'd share at our tables about what we learned from that. And I'd hear the women at this table talk about their experiences with their divorce. And I think to myself over and over, I think, man, they're talking about me. They're talking about me. My gosh. And it really cut me to the core. And at that time, God was working on me, on my sin and what I had done to the family, which I hadn't really grasped at this time. And praise God for that. But at this, I started growing. I wanted to learn more about God. And so I went to a Christian bookstore. I was looking around for some kind of a commentary. I had never gone through a commentary before. And I saw Warren Wiersbe's. He has this B series. And I saw Be Mature. And I thought, that's what I need to be. I need to be mature. So I grabbed it. I loved it. And I went through that. I wanted to learn more. And about spring, I decided to enroll part-time in evenings at a local college for a bachelor's in Christian ministry, which I did.
So in the meantime, we were sort of on a, you might say, a parallel track. I picked up Elizabeth George's Loving God with All Your Mind, and I went through that page by page, and I copied the scriptures onto index cards, and I carried those index cards with me. And anytime I'd start feeling low, I'd pull out those index cards and I'd just start going through them. And probably the biggest one that helped me was from Philippians. And to paraphrase, it states that you should love everything that is and believe in everything that is true, that is good, that is. And then the book said, and so the opposite side of the coin is that if you didn't hear it, it probably isn't true. If it wasn't said, you shouldn't make up your mind that that's what was meant by that comment. And I applied that a lot to when Terry and I would have conversations, because he never said, anything negative to me. He persisted in that, he was happy with the divorce, but that he never said anything negative about me. So I treasured those words that, well, if it wasn't said, then I don't need to believe that. And going through, that was my book. I think everybody's got a book that they find in times of need, and that was mine. In the meantime, I also continued walks and prayers with my neighbor, and I went through preparation at the church. They were starting to prepare for World Impact to be in the community, and I don't know if you're familiar with World Impact, but they come in and move into a community, and they use people within the community to help plant a church, and they're very good about it, and I think the book that is based on that is called Up from the Ashes, and I loved the thought, and so I went through the series at the church, and it came to the final day where he told us, okay, now you need to, you know, pray whether you want to commit to being part of World Impact. And as he said it's not going to be for everybody, but I want you to pray. And those that feel led, you know, they would move on down the line with the program. I prayed, and I can honestly say that I felt without a doubt the Lord telling me, no, this is not the time for you. You need to wait. You need to take care of Jack, and you need to wait. At this point in time, Jack would have been in probably sixth grade in middle school, and our daughter was in high school. So I really felt that it was time to wait. I didn't know what for, but it was time to wait.
Well, I was in my Christian ministry program. We did a section, semester, on the spiritual disciplines. And as part of that, our group, and this is one of those satellite groups that the group stays together and the teachers come in and out. And so we really gained a lot of, you know, camaraderie in that class. And so at one point in this, on a Saturday, as part of our spiritual disciplines, we took a retreat to a church and spent most of the day on Saturday. And the whole idea was to practice spiritual disciplines and see where God is calling us for our ministry, where He's leading us for service. And so we'd split up and we'd pray and pray and pray, and then a couple hours later we'd come back together, and people would in the groups, "Well, what do you think the Lord is talking to you?" And some person says, "I really think the Lord is calling me to minister to the elderly." And another person, I think the Lord's calling me to minister, you know, overseas, to go into the mission field. And then afterwards, we were supposed to write a paper on, you know, what our experience was. And in my paper, I just said, "The Lord didn't say anything to me. This is the biggest waste of time I've ever spent. I spent all day on Saturday praying, and He didn't say anything." I mean, good grief. But that bothered me, because I felt the Lord was calling me. There's another person in that class who was also divorced, and we would laugh to each other and say, you know, because we're divorced, we'd laugh and say, "Well, any church I'd want to pastor at, they wouldn't have me because I'm divorced," you know, and we'd ha ha ha, you know, laugh. But it bothered me that the Lord wasn't speaking to me, and I thought, man, what is going on here? And so I just put my whole social, it was in the summer, I put my whole social life on hold for about 2 months, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and exercised the disciplines that I had learned, which, you know, I would really encourage. And finally, after a couple of months, I just said in frustration, you know, to the Lord, "Hey, you know, what can I do to glorify you?" And God said, and this I know it's God talking, because I wouldn't have come up with that answer. He said, "Reconcile with Carolyn." I said, "What would be the second thing that I could do?" It's true. And He said, "Look, this is true, literal. You ask the question, you got the answer. Peace out." He didn't say peace out, but that was it. That was it. So, okay.
So at this point in time, I was still basically just healing and waiting. And again, I had no idea what I was waiting for. But in September, Terry called and asked me on a date. We went on the date, and I started to cry. I told him I didn't know what I'd been waiting for, but I assumed this was what I'd been waiting for. So at that time, we agreed to reconcile.
Well, my heart wasn't in it. And I wasn't really ready to go there because I paid my pound of flesh for going my own way, and I wasn't really willing to go back. So we went out a few times, but I quit calling, and I figured by October, let's see, November, October, I dodged the bullet. So, got by that one. So, about that time, our daughter Lynn was a freshman in college, and she needed some bookshelves for her dorm room. She asked me to make her some bookshelves. So I'm out in my garage making bookshelves for Carolyn. It's Thanksgiving morning. Beautiful day. I was actually outside in front of the garage. Oh, beautiful day. Sanding. I cut everything, and I'm sanding it and everything. And thinking to myself, like a dummy, gee, I wonder what the Lord is going to use me for. I wonder how I'm going to serve Him. And He said to me, what makes you think I can have anything to do with you if you can't trust me? What? He said, how can you stand up in front of my people and say, have faith, when you yourself can't? And he said, furthermore, don't say, I didn't hear, I didn't understand what you were saying. He's talking about Judgment Day. Because we both know. And at that moment, my mind, my muddy, murky little mind was so clear. It was like, I mean, it was like putting a Mississippi catfish in a Colorado spring. It was just like, whoa! And then it went out. So I called, went to the phone, called Carolyn and said, we have got to reconcile.
And my response was, okay, but we need to get Christian counseling. And we went through the Christian counseling, and it brought to light some of the issues that we had. It also brought to light that we were pretty compatible. I have to say that as we continued to reconcile, that it wasn't like this was a miracle cure. God did not take away the problems that had been there before. He would present them, and we'd have to work through them. And this continued. I mean, we would find issues, and we had to work through them. And they were the same issues we'd had before, but this time we were committed.
I'd like to add one thing that I forgot. When the Lord told me to reconcile with Carolyn, this is important, when the Lord told me to reconcile with Carolyn the first time, I went to a Christian counselor in my church that I had been seeing and told him the story about, you know, well, the Lord told me to reconcile. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, man, you've got to have a plan. You just ruined that woman's life. You can't just traipse in and say, hey, we're going to get back together. And that kind of took me aback, and I said, well, if the Lord's doing this in my life, don't you think He's working on her too? So I thought that's important. You know, the Lord works on us, but he was working on Carolyn and me together. So we were both apart, but we were both heading towards the Lord. And as we headed towards the Lord, we were coming back together.
So this brings us to the scripture, or my portion of the scripture for this morning, which is 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. And in the same way, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Thus, even if some are disobedient to the word, they will be won over without a word by the way you live, when they see your pure and reverent conduct. I have to say that when Terry left in 1999, I don't think I was living this way. It took a few years for me to reconcile where I needed to make changes, and for that transformation to occur in me, and for me also to realize that if I give Terry a chance, he's a very good leader. And God taught me that, that he is a good leader. And if I allow him to lead, we are much better off. God can use us in amazing ways, but we have to let him. And we have to be willing to listen. And I loved the song this morning, the We Are Listening, because of this. We have to be willing to wait also, if that's what he tells us. And that is probably one of the hardest things to do. And I waited from 1999 to March 1st, 2003, when we were remarried. And I know others have waited a lot longer.
And the passage that speaks to me most out of our experience is Ephesians 5, 25 through 28, which reads, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to sanctify her by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word, so that he may present the church to himself as glorious, not having a stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Clearly, I did not love my wife as Christ loves the church, because Christ will never turn his back on the church. And it's a sacrificial love. Christ went to the cross for the church. And, you know, clearly I did not go to the cross for my wife, and I do not believe I know I did not live sacrificially. And kind of I'd like to share some lessons learned that we have from this. The first thing that we learned as we got back together is the lie that says marriage is a 50-50 proposition, because we're all fallen. Who judges what's 50-50? Probably it's 90-10. You know, I'm doing 90%. Why are you always doing 10%? How come I always have to empty the dishwasher? How come there's dishes stacked in the sink? How come I always have to shovel the driveway and then I have to come in and do the dishes? Blah, 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 blah. But we have to learn to live. And you can't do it all the time. But we try to be cognizant of it's 100% zero. If you give 100% and expect nothing, then anything you get in return is bonus. And you're not always judging, okay, you know, judging it out. And as we became closer to God, we became closer to each other. That's a very important part of this. And finally, at the very end, when we reconciled, I told God, okay. Now, I'm being obedient. So now you have to do something about that woman. I'm doing my part. Now you have got to do something about that woman. And you know what happened when we got back together is God started pointing out so many things that were wrong with me. Seriously, God pointed out so many things that were wrong with me. I did not have time to worry about what's wrong with Carolyn. So I, you know, pray that prayer. God will be faithful there. He'll point out everything. And one other thing that I'd like to say is I'm sorry Bruce isn't here, but when Carol and I were visiting with the elders and about the elder thing and asking questions, and we told this story a little bit, and Bruce said, "Terry, do you cherish your wife?" Well, that cut me to the quick, because I love Carolyn. I can't think of any other place to be, and I'm telling you that the first 19 years of our marriage was eternity, and it just seems like, and we reconciled the last 2003, so it's last 11 years have been like that. And I can't imagine anybody to be with. But Bruce cut me to the heart because, you know, I love her and I respect her, and I can't think of any place being other than by her side. But do I cherish her? And that's a challenge I have for you guys. Do you cherish your wives? So, and then finally, how is God working in and through your life for His story? Everybody has this story. You know, you probably didn't screw up as much as maybe I did here, but God has His story that He's working through you. Look for that story. It'll be an encouragement to you. And I encourage you to do that. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your abundant mercies. Thank You for Your steadfast love. And thank You for going to the cross for us so that we might be with You and working through this stuff with us and helping us understand You better and ourselves better and to bring us back into the way. And Lord, we thank You so much. We ask for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.